What's the most embarrassing thing that your significant other has ever done to you? Because I think this poor woman has to be so humiliated this week.
Mm.
She's a beautiful woman. She's a beauty pageant contestant in Brazil. And it was down to her and another person. And one of them was going to be named the runner-up. One person was going to be named the champion, right?
Okay.
This is what it sounds like when they name the champion. Everybody starts cheering. It's not this woman. Here comes her husband on stage, grabs the crown, throws it on the floor, and they storm off the stage together while she looks shocked.
So her husband got on stage after she got runner-up.
Yes.
And threw the crown of the winner?
Yes. On the floor, grabbed it right out of their hands. And also, he's half the size of both these women.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's a short guy.
He's small.
Gosh. I mean, in that case, it's not even like the most embarrassing thing they've ever done. It's the embarrassing thing that they've done sticking up for you, right? So, I mean, he's trying to look out for her. He says, my lady is the best. She's the most beautiful in this pageant. She should win. But now he's acting like an idiot.
She is so beautiful. And I just don't understand how he got her. But that's a story for another time.
I mean, how does she compete ever again after that?
You don't. They actually said they're going to take legal action against him.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too bad if it reflects on her.
I know.
If it reflects on him. I mean, you make decisions. You got to live with them, right?
What's the most embarrassing thing your wife has ever done to you in public?
Well, I think that anything a spouse can ever do is, you know, it's related to either A, your job, which is usually not a good look, right? If your spouse has to get involved in your job in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Or if, you know, like as a man, if you're having a disagreement with another man or a group of men or whatever, and your spouse gets involved, that's never favorable, right? I mean, I can remember plainly, I had a coworker who she had left working there and her husband called. This is years after her leaving the radio business. Her husband had called my boss and complained to him that we would not provide Pearl Jam tickets to her. She okay. wanted to go backstage, first row, all that stuff after all those years. And I found that to be so unbelievably embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody knew about it in the building, right? The boss talked about it because he's like, can you believe this, that it happened? And I found that to be so incredibly embarrassing.
Yeah. I think if your wife calls to complain that you can't have front row Pearl Jam tickets, that's embarrassing.
Yes.
My husband, Paul, he's like obsessed with dad jokes. Like he loves dad jokes,
mm.
but he has no filter and he's not embarrassed. So we'll be sitting down at a restaurant and they're not funny. Like some of them don't even make sense. And he'll like kind of work it into a conversation with strangers.
Yes.
And it's always the same reaction. They'll apologize and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Can you say that again?
Yeah.
And then I have to jump in and be like, no, he's just trying to be funny. You can ignore him. And then he's so smug and proud of himself that he did it. I mean, it's happened 3 times over the last weekend. I'm not really sure how to make it like be over.
You know that this gets worse, right? Because my grandfather just,
yes.
I mean, this has gotten worse every year.
I think the older he gets, the more that he doesn't care. Like he'll just say the terrible jokes no matter where we are to anybody he wants.
Yeah.
The only saving grace is that there's nobody to crown me. So he's not going to take my crown and smash it on the floor.
Well, you know, it's good, again, that guy had the support for his lady, but probably find a better way to do it.
Now, this may be an unpopular opinion, but I don't think that athletes, and I should say kids for the most part, not professional athletes, should have to shake each other's hands after the games for that quote-unquote good sportsmanship.
For clarity's sake, then you do believe that adults, professionals should?
If you're getting paid, then you should. that's my rule. You're getting paid to play a sport, then sure.
Yeah, but you're not getting paid to shake hands. I mean, you're an adult. You can make up your own mind at that point. When you're a kid, I mean, if we're going to let the kid make up his own mind, right?
Raven, producer Sean, the reason why this comes up is that the French Open is going on, right?
Mm.
So Marta Kostyuk of Ukraine had the crowd on her side initially, but then she was booed after she refused to shake hands with Aryna Sabalenka of Belarus after she lost in all the straight sets.
That's because they're friends with Russia and right.
Right, Russia versus Ukraine. It's over the war. Here she is explaining why.
I never said publicly nor privately nor to anyone that I hate Aryna Sabalenka or any of the players. I just don't respect her because of her position in this situation.
Okay, I get all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But take the war out of the situation and just... I always think when I watch the kids play the sports, there is so much hostility on the field. And there's part of it that I get it. Like, it's kind of part of the sport. It's like you get rough and all that. But afterwards, after they've literally been tackling each other all day, and I'm basically talking about soccer because it's what I watch my daughter play.
Yeah.
The fact that they have to line up and pretend to like each other after they were just swearing at each other. Like, the stories I hear and the things I hear these girls say, and then they have to go and slap each other's hands, to me, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I can remember playing, you know, Little League or soccer when I was younger, too, and thinking to myself that there was never a time in the lineup after that I was like, yeah, I really respect this other kid. You know, I mean, you hope that you develop those kind of thoughts about something like that, but the pure competitive nature and the, you know, the slight violence, even when you're playing, right? I mean, you know, when you bust your shin or you skin your arm or something like that, like, you remember those things and you're not happy about it. So
one girl legit gave Hayden, my 14-year-old, an elbow to the nose with a bloody nose is running down her face. It was on purpose. She got called for it, right? Yeah. Now Hayden's got to go shake her hand. Like, get out of here.
She should have checked her.
Right, well.
Checked her back. Honestly, I ran track in high school. And like Anna said, there is a lot of trash talk when you're in high school sports or, you know, middle school sports, anything like that. And I will shake your hand if, you know, we could be fair to each other. If it gets a little, you know, too a little heated, that's okay. But when it's just straight trash talk, I'm like, I'm checking that guy after the game. I ain't shaking his hand.
I want to hear the track trash talk, don't you?
Who knew?
I mean,
who knew?
I had no idea. Like, any movies or anything I've ever seen depicted, you're just, you know, you're in your head. You're just running. Who knew that there was actually some trash talk going on?
You did a good job for someone who runs slow. I'm a trip that guy.
I mean, how do you say that to somebody? I'd be so out of breath. Yeah. I don't think I could speak.
No. Your jump was little.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew that
I
was
know.
Like that? Wow.
So we're all kind of on the same page. Like, we should probably skip that handshake. I wonder if people disagree with us. If you do, you can call and yell at us. 1-800-330-9999. We'd love to hear your side.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You always hear you're not supposed to complain. Oh, here we want you to complain. Get it off your chest. It's like group therapy. 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Julie.
If you go to the grocery store and you have a full-size carriage filled with groceries and you proceed to go to the self-checkout, that's all I need to know about you.
Some people just want to be there forever.
Right.
Or they want to rip the place off. So it's been shocking to me the amount of people that have told me lately that they're using the self-checkout and that they're not ringing up like 10% of their stuff. These are good people that are telling me this.
They're not good people if they're saying this.
Boss told us this.
Well, correct. He is not a good person.
It's terrible.
But you can't be a good person and say that you know that you're stealing and you're okay with it.
I mean, you can afford it. What are you doing?
Shelby, that's all I need to know about you.
So if you don't drive the speed limit, that's all I need to know about you. Seriously, I don't understand why anyone would be driving 15 miles per hour on the highway.
Do you ever get behind somebody driving so slow and you don't know what to do? Like, part of you just wants to give up and die.
Yeah, you want to scream.
Right.
15 miles per hour on a side street is just terrible for me. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult to do. On my street, I try and do 20 miles per hour and it's hard. It's really, really hard. I have to remind myself that I know these people. These people know me and I see them every single day. But if I didn't, I'd be going faster.
I mean, of course. I don't think I've ever gone 20 miles per hour anywhere ever, unless it was like a parking lot.
Nope.
Yeah.
20 on my street, but it is hard.
Leslie, that's all I need to know about you.
If you return Sharpies to the bin without their caps, that's all I need to know about you. Obviously, I'm a teacher and I'm talking about children, but I know I'm not supposed to have my favorites, but I have my least favorites, and they're the ones who can't put their freaking caps back on their Sharpies. It's going to drive me crazy.
I do think that they should make those caps easier to stay connected to the marker. I feel like the young kids are constantly losing the caps. Even though they're kind of made to go on the top, they never actually stay on the top.
Listen, I've got a rule, all right? If you're not responsible enough to handle a Sharpie, you don't get a Sharpie, all right? There's an age limit possibly on this. A Sharpie is like a weapon. It's permanent, all right?
It is.
All right, and once you dry that Sharpie out, you've ruined said Sharpie. I like to wield my Sharpie like a weapon or a tool. So if you don't have the ability to hold on to that kind of power, Anna, you don't get my Sharpie.
Do you think when Sharpie started their company that they knew that one day they would be the Rolls Royce of markers?
Oh, yeah.
Like people would covet the Sharpie. Like if somebody borrows my Sharpie out of my bag, and I don't, like, I keep an eye on it the whole time till it's returned safely because I am so concerned that they're going to steal it.
That's what I like to think that Sharpie made that their mission statement from moment one. They were like, we're going to be the greatest marker that's ever existed.
Every moment counts to squeeze out the best with your kids. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze, made from 100% fruit and no sugar added in a squeezable pouch. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? Raven, bed rotting is trending?
What? That sounds disgusting.
It does sound disgusting. It's not as disgusting as it sounds.
Okay, well, that's good.
It's a new term being used to describe Gen Z for when they want to work from home and never leave the house.
Well, I kind of like it, actually.
Okay, because it doesn't apply to you.
That's right, bed rotting. Right. I love it. Are you at home suffering from bed rot? How about just get up and do something?
Here's an expert talking about it.
You should never be at home. That's what I tell young people. Home is for 7 hours of sleep, and that's it. The amount of time you spend at home is inversely correlated to your success professionally and romantically. You need to be out of the house.
So there's been a lot of evidence that says that people who work outside of the house have a higher rate of success.
Yeah.
And now all these economists from Harvard are coming out and they're saying that remote employees get less attention. They get less praise. They get less raises than people that show up to the office.
You know, I was having a discussion with a couple of friends this past week and they happened to be on the other side of that argument. And you know where I think you know where I sit. It's quite firmly in the go to the office, go to work. I think it's a great idea. You just get a different creative fire when you're working around people. But, you know, in their industry, they very much felt like it was different than that.
Well, it's like me and my husband. Like
one's in software and one's in something else.
It depends, I think, on your what you do. But I do think for when we're talking about Gen Z and the younger generation is that you got to go.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that people are going to realize that you're there and and to move you up the ladder.
And the doctor mentioned socially and dating, too. I mean, listen, you're not going to meet anybody inside your house, right? Yep. Get out there and enjoy life.
Yeah. So I agree with that 100%. Whenever I feel like I'm stuck in a rut, whatever, I get my kids up. I go, let's go. And they're like, where are we going? I go, I don't know. But just to get out of the house and start experiencing life is good. And I think we all fell into that rut during COVID where our sweatpants are real cozy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff on TV I want to watch.
Hey, look, I'm still tired. I could use a nap.
I could really use a snack. Here, good news. I have my entire pantry right here, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, also trending is Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx has been trending hardcore for a while now because he's got this mysterious illness that nobody knows what it is that he got hospitalized for.
And what real shape that he's in right now.
Yeah, but they're saying he's doing a lot better and he's recovering.
Yeah.
That's not changing the fact that he's not doing Beat Shazam. He's not hosting or doing any of his work. He's not working on the Mike Tyson biopic.
I mean, I haven't seen him doing a video on his own social. Everything is just kind of a press release or a friend talking.
Right. So I was pleasantly surprised when I heard this nice news.
The city of Terrell with a new basketball court, all thanks to Oscar winner Jamie Foxx. He partnered with Gilbert Willie Charities to bring this Breezy Hill Park to his hometown. That's one vibrant court, certainly. Plenty of signage, including Foxx's motto, Believe and Achieve.
So he donated a basketball court to his high school in Terrell, Texas, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Raven. When you look at the basketball court, it's bright red, beautiful.
Yeah.
There is a giant circle in the center court, and it has giant words in it.
Okay.
And those words are Jamie Foxx.
Is that right?
I was just like...
He put his name on it?
He put his name on it.
Physically in the middle of the court.
It's giant. Like, I'm like, it's one thing if you want to make a donation and they say they're going to donate...
They name the auditorium after.
Yes.
Right, right. The Jamie Foxx auditorium or the gymnasium, right.
He was like, I'm going to give you this basketball court. But I'm going to put my name as big as possible right in the middle of it.
And well, I it sounds like he's feeling fine.
Yeah, exactly. Just back to normal for
That's
him.
Kind of the Jamie Foxx that I know and love.
Yeah.
So. All right. Good.
Think about when you were growing up with your parents. What did they do to you that would never fly today? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, producer Sean, my husband and I were having dinner last night. And I don't even know how it came up, but we started giggling because My husband was telling the story how about his uncle always used to make him go buy cigarettes when he was like 14 years old.
Yeah. And I'd send you to the store.
Yes.
You'd walk down the street.
Yes. And I was like, my grandfather would make me go buy cigarettes. And like, and I mean, this was like the late 90s. It wasn't right. It
wasn't the 50s or anything right. like that. Like, you would think that it would be illegal.
I remember thinking about it, being like, I can't believe he would just like tell me in Italian to go buy him cigarettes. And there I'd go, do what you do. And I could go down and buy him his cigarettes. And then he would give me two. Like, he'd be like, here you go. Like, I was like, I'll get it.
smoke.
Right. Like, I don't smoke, no, but okay. Thank you.
Well, that was your payment. It was almost like, you know, the commissary. Right? He had to do a kickback.
Imagine nowadays being like, telling your kid who's 14 years old to go grab you cigarettes. They'd be like, what? What are you talking about?
Go walk six city blocks to go get me a pack of Paul Malls right now. I mean, everything about that conversation is wrong.
Hayden said to me the other day, my 14-year-old, she was like, why do people smoke? I go, it was a different time, and most people are just still addicted. It's like, don't worry about it. Don't smoke.
My father used to carry one of those little coolers, and I mean, it could fit a six-pack, and that was what it perfectly was meant for back then. Nobody saw a problem with that. And there was just always a six-pack of Heffenreffer in the car. Now, I don't remember that he was drinking it necessarily while driving or anything like that. But again, he just was going throughout life with this six-pack of Heffenreffer with him all the time. And then I also remember that we used to drive up to the top of this mountain, and he had a standard, and he would put the car in neutral. He would take it out of gear. And then we would float down the other side of the mountain there, and he wouldn't hit the brakes until he absolutely had to. And I thought we were going to die every single time. At the time, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. But now that I'm grown,
right?
Like, I want you to imagine trying to explain that to a police officer when you've been pulled over with your kid in a child seat next to you.
What a Heffenreffer. What are they called?
It was a Heffenreffer. Green bottle. Heffenreffer. Yeah. And on the inside of the cap, it used to have like a Snapple puzzle. One of those things. Right?
You know, my mom used to, like, when I was like seven, eight, maybe a little younger than that, my mom used to let me like ride up front with her when she would drive everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And that was the thing.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Nowadays, it's like, you know, it's terribly frowned upon if your kid's sitting in the front seat.
I mean, I put my dog in a booster seat in the car. Okay. So, I mean, yes,
it's
terribly frowned upon. Yes. That would be an understatement. Absolutely.
Well, I remember because like they would get to a point where there was too many of us kids. So the oldest had to go in the front seat. Like that's how else were we going to fit in the car? I remember we used to do the thing with the seatbelt where like in the back.
Be three of you in one.
Well, like whoever was the oldest would have to just wrap their arms around the smallest, and they would sit in the lap, and it would be the human seatbelt, right?
Like a Russian nesting doll, but it's happening in the back seat. Yeah. I love it.
Jeremy wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, so what did your parents do that would never fly today? Jeremy wrote, left me at home without a babysitter at 6 years old.
Oh my gosh, yes. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. We were all latchkey kids back then. Yes.
Yeah. How about you? 1-800-330-9999. What did your parents do back then that would never fly today? Oh, what did your parents do that would never fly today if you try to do it? Melody wrote on our Facebook page, take me for a ride on his motorcycle, no helmet. Yep. Can you imagine putting a six-year-old on a motorcycle right now and just being like, let's go?
They'd put you right on the gas tank. My father used to take me to every R-rated movie. I was like seven.
Yeah.
I would go to all of them. I mean, terribly horrifying films.
This comes up. My husband and I were laughing last night. We were talking about it. Like, my grandfather used to send me when I was like 12 to go buy him cigarettes. And this is like the late 90s. I remember just being like, I got to go get no cigarettes. Right. And just walking and going to get them.
Walking through downtown.
Nobody questioned it. Like,
eight
all right.
Years old.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. What did your parents do that would never fly today? Michael.
I come from an Italian family, so my brothers weren't allowed to go nowhere without me, and we lived in Brooklyn. So when I used to follow them around when I was five, they used to like to hang it out on the flat top garage roof. So my father gave them a boat rope, and they used to tie it around my chest and under my arms. And my brothers and cousins would pull me up to the roof to hang out with them and then lower me down when they were done.
I'm not sure that would have flew back then either.
Yeah. OSHA does not approve this. That's not a proper ride harness.
Totally acceptable.
Hey, Nate, what did your parents do that would never fly today?
You know, I remember my grandfather, you're talking about sending me to buy cigarettes. My grandmother used to send me to buy cigarettes before I was 10. This is back in Jamaica. And she don't want a pack. She want like two every time.
Yep.
Imagine seeing a 10-year-old walk down the street with a carton of Newports.
Yeah.
Right? Can you imagine?
You know they want it mostly at night, too.
Yeah.
But the school was kind of close. But you couldn't sleep. Don't sleep. Sleep with one ear open. You know?
Jennifer, what did your parents do that would never fly today?
My mom used to bring me and my two younger siblings to the grocery store, leave us in the car with the windows cracked. She would go in and shop for like a half hour, 45 minutes, and we would just be bouncing all over the car, turn on all the lights, the wipers, honk the horn. Just in the car by ourselves in the parking lot all the time.
Can you imagine? Like, my daughter, my older, is 14 now. Mm. So I just started letting her stay in the car if I run into a store.
I think that most of us from way back in the day, we have at least one story of somebody knocking the car out of gear. Right?
Oh,
so,
yes.
I mean, so we were all left in the car for a certain amount of time now. Now, if we pull into a parking lot and it's above 70 degrees and we're out there for 30 seconds or more, if my wife sees a dog in a car, she's ready to smash a window.
Right.
You know, yeah. We were two kids. Yeah. You had the keys.
I always
say, a cigarette lighter in the car that would just heat up like an element. You could cauterize a wound with that thing.
I remember my brother putting my dad's pickup in gear in reverse, and it was a miracle. That thing, for some reason, took a sharp left turn and didn't go right off a cliff. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Yeah. Hey, Stacy, what did your parents do back then that would never fly now?
We used to all just drive in the back, like sit in the back of a pickup truck.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And when we came across country from California to Connecticut, all six of us were just in the back of a station wagon. Like, it was nothing.
I mean, nothing. Now, if you put your German Shepherd back there, you'd be worried.
Right.
Right? Like, there's some sort of harness and a seatbelt. Six kids, no problem.
Correct.
That's how we used to get around in the back of my dad's pickup truck. It was never even thought about. And it was so fun when all the cousins were back there together. It was like a party while we were going 70 miles per hour down the highway.
Now I want you to imagine doing that for 3,300 miles across the country.
Right. 1-800-330-9999. Your parents did a lot of things that would not fly today. What were they? What did your parents do that would never fly today? 1-800-330-9999. My husband and I were laughing last night because we used to have to go get my grandfather and his uncle's cigarettes. We were like 10, 12 years old. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, that's the 90s. Like, what the heck? What did we do that for?
I can't believe we didn't get a phone call about somebody that had to go to the store to get beer or wine. Because,
I
mean, going down to the convenience store, same thing. I mean, living in the city, the bodega run was something that was pretty common.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Rose, what is something your parents did that would never fly today?
We grew up in a household full of kids. There were six of us and always had cousins over. And we had a station wagon. And she used to throw this playpen in the back of the car. And all the little ones were loose in the playpen. And the rest of us were, like, clustered in the back seat.
Oh, yeah. It's like you'd be driving like cow.
She'd put you in the tent?
We were loose in the car.
Yeah, in the back of the car.
It was like a playpen in the back of the station wagon.
Right.
The little ones would be in there loose. Yep. In the playpen.
Yep. That's how you keep them. The gaggle of them.
It was crazy.
Barbara, what did your parents do that would never fly today?
Oh, my God. So my sister and I was eight. Started when I was eight and she was 10. We get on our twin purple Royal bicycles with our pink and white streamers, 8 o'clock in the morning, and ride all over town. This is before cell phones. And come back for lunch. And then take off and do it again and just ride all over town without any ability to touch it, to get in contact with our parents
I mean, back in the day, you never knew where your kids were. That was it. They were gone.
I don't let my kids walk a quarter mile from my house. I won't let them do it.
Right.
Right.
Back in the day, man, you could be zip codes away.
Yeah.
Crazy. I remember those days, too. And Ann Raven, who's this?
This is Victoria from Selden. I remember hiding behind the racks with my sister, my mom, and my grandma. They'd be like, where are the kids? And we're snickering behind the racks. And we got pulled out by our hair. Say, you ever do that again, I'm going to kill you. Sorry.
Yeah. Parents grabbing kids by their hair. That doesn't happen anymore. You're exactly right about that.
No, you're right.
You better be falling off a cliff, and it was the only way I could save you if I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Right.
Wow. And then Raven, who's this?
Yes, my name is Sue, and it's not my parents that did it. Me and my girlfriend in Queens, the old lady that used to live up on the hill, she sent us to the store to buy snuff.
What is snuff?
It's like old chewing tobacco.
Yeah, and we never knew what it was, but we walked in the candy store and we bought this for her and brought it back to her.
You say the old lady on the hill?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the old lady? I could picture her in my head.
Yeah, it sounds like a witch.
Right.
No, her house had like 40 steps to get up to the front door.
See? Yeah, no, that's a witch. No, yeah. That's definitely a witch. Right.
Yeah. And we were only like 9 and 10 years old.
Yeah, yeah. That's wild.
Thanks. Hey, you can't know what.
Go get me some snuff.
Go
get me some snuff.
Give me some snuff.
Get yourself a candy while you're there, too.
Hey, Nick, what did your parents do that would never fly today?
I was always in trouble as a little kid, so my parents put a harness on me and put me on the clothesline in the backyard so I couldn't get away.
Oh, my gosh. You were on a dog runner.
I was on a dog runner.
Yeah. My neighbor had a beagle on one of those. Yep, same thing. Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Goose
Baba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday is all about small things you can do to make a big difference in your life. And a study shows that sleeping on the wrong side of the bed can ruin your day. Here's the expert lady.
Those who sleep on the right side of the bed are 7% more likely to wake up grumpy in the morning than those who sleep on the left side. They're also 3% more likely to not like their job.
3% doesn't seem like a giant figure.
I mean, it doesn't seem like anything that you could even quantify, but I sleep on the right side of the bed.
Do you?
I do.
But the people who slept on the left side were 9.5% more likely to have a good outlook on life and 8% more likely to enjoy their job and have good friends.
Okay, so it's funny because I started like analyzing it because I'm like, all right, so basically if you sleep on the left side of the bed, you're good. If you sleep on the right side of the bed, you're bad.
You're evil.
Right.
Right.
I sleep on the right side of the bed.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait.
Look at us.
Yeah.
We were doomed from moment one.
Exactly. So she continues and says this.
So if you're the kind of person who wakes up grumpier than the Grinch, maybe you should switch sides of the bed.
Do you know that 40% of people have a side of the bed? And I was shocked by that because I thought it would be 100% of people have a side of the
bed. No question about it. But I wouldn't think that there was anybody that was flip-flopping. I mean,
right.
Yeah. I mean, even when I was in a bed by myself, I pretty much slept in the same position on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Tossing and turning, that happened more often when there was less, when there was more room.
When you and your wife, Raven,
yeah.
Have you always slept on the same sides?
Yes.
So
from moment one, from the first bed we purchased together. Yep.
We have switched a couple times over the years because it always had to do with when we had our babies mm-hmm. is I needed to be able to fit the bassinet next to me.
Okay.
So if like both times I was in different houses mm-hmm. and the other side had more room. So I switched a couple times. But it's funny because moving into our new house now that our kids are 4 and 14, that's not going to be a thing anymore. Knock on wood. Everybody knock on wood. And my mom says, no, you have to sleep on this side now. And I said, why? She's like, because the murderers, when they right. come in, they get him first.
Right.
And I was like, oh, right, that makes
closer
sense.
Closer to the doorway.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that buys you a whole other 3 seconds, I guess, when the murderer comes in. Yeah.
So we decided, Raven and I, last night, that we were going to try switching sides of the bed to see how it goes.
Mm.
So here's what it sounded like when I switched bed sides last night before I went to sleep.
I am on Paul's side of the bed. Feels weird. Now I just have to go to sleep, I guess. Let's see how it goes.
How did it feel when you got on your side of the bed?
Well, I'll just let you listen in. You know, I hadn't really discussed it with Alicia before bedtime. I thought it was best to just spring it on her.
What are you doing?
Thought it might be good to switch sides of it.
That's not happening.
I read it.
No.
Thing?
No, I have enough problems sleeping. We're not switching sides.
Oh, won't it be fun?
No.
She was very, very, very excited about this idea.
Did she let you?
No!
No?
No, she didn't do it!
No, it's so funny. Paul, like, is so easygoing. He's like, all right, like, whatever, weirdo.
I figured she was tired, like, that would be the time to get her.
No.
No.
So I did. I slept on the opposite side of the bed to see if it affected my mood and made me happier this morning.
Yeah.
I definitely woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And, like, physically, I feel fine, except for the whatever weird thing is going on in my throat. But, like, I'm just in a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood for no reason whatsoever. I can't really explain that.
I woke up in the worst mood.
Yeah.
The worst mood ever. And I didn't know why. I was so mad. Like, what am I so mad about today?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a rough go when you're on the other side there. Yeah. Are you blaming the other side of the bed for the throat thing?
No. Well, maybe. Maybe that's what's wrong with my throat today is I slept on the wrong side of the bed, and that's why I'm in such a bad mood.
I think if I need to sleep on the other side of the bed, I'm going to have to find another bed.
That's true.
That's what's going to have to happen in my house. Yeah.
Every moment counts to squeeze out the best with your kids. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze, made from 100% fruit and no sugar added in a squeezable pouch. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Austin and Charlotte. Okay, Charlotte, what's going on?
Okay, my husband's best friend for like, I don't know, like 15 years, like the whole time that we've been together, is kind of a deadbeat. He's never had a job. He like is unreliable. All of a sudden, he wants to open a chain sandwich shop, and he needs to borrow $15,000. And my husband thinks that this is a good idea. This is my money, too, and this is should be like a joint decision, deciding what we're going to do.
Austin, what's going on?
Well, my friend since college, I agree with my wife. He has not been the best at holding a job down. He's kind of like a free spirit. He starts working in a place for maybe the maximum a year, and then he moves on. He just gets kind of restless. You know, he actually thought of this sandwich shop idea a few years back. This isn't like all of a sudden. He definitely talked about it before. I want to support him. Like, I have the money right now. We're looking for something to invest our money in, and if I can invest in a friend or family, that's what I'm going to do. That's the best investment in my eyes. He is hardworking, just doesn't really like management all that much. He's constantly being like looked over. So I think him running his own business, plus he's worked in a ton of restaurants, I think this is going to be perfect for him. I would like to be hands-on a little bit if he's willing to run it and put in the work. He's also doing a lot of fundraising. It's not only $15,000. He needs about $80,000 in order to open this thing, and he's doing a big fundraising campaign. So, you know, he's not only asking money from me. I think it's a really good opportunity, not only from a business standpoint, but from a good friend standpoint.
You want to work in the sandwich chain restaurant too?
I definitely want to help out as much as I possibly can. Maybe I'm not going to be like a day-to-day worker, but, you know, if I'm needed to take in like some shipments or if I'm needed to run like numbers or schedules, I'm willing to put in a little bit of work for it because, you know, I do want to have my hands in the business if I got skin in the game.
Well, skin in the game is good, especially if you think that you need some oversight over your friend. Like, I mean, listen, it's one thing to be supportive of your friend who you believe has a viable business plan. To just say, well, I think he'll do better when he doesn't have to answer to somebody. I don't know if that's a great idea, man, because you got to answer to the franchise. You got to answer to the bank. Those are real boxes you got to check.
He for real hasn't held down a job in 15 years.
Not a long-term one, no.
I mean, what's to say that he doesn't just change his mind 6 months into this if he has a bad day or it doesn't go well or whatever?
And it's not his money. He just walks away and he's like, well, I tried, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. That part makes me a little bit leery. On the other hand, I'm not a restaurant person. And it seems to me those that do restaurants, they either figure things out or they don't, right? Anna, your family's into restaurants. They've clearly had a lot of success doing it because they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Also, it's a tremendous amount of work, and people think it's easy to open up a restaurant, and that is not the truth whatsoever.
Right.
I don't know. What's the audience has to say? Because maybe they'll agree with you, Austin. If you believe in your friend and you think that this may be the right calling for him, and it's a $15,000 investment, and you want to support him, then so be it. But they may see Charlotte's side, too. You guys are a married couple. He doesn't have a good track record. It's her money as well, so he can't just make a decision like that and move forward.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
If one of your best friends asked you to borrow $15,000 as an investment because they want to open a chain sandwich shop, would you give it to them? What if that person has a track record of not really, I don't know, holding down a job for 15 years?
Yeah, that's the situation Charlotte and Austin find themselves in. Austin wants to lend his buddy the money. Charlotte says, your friend is a deadbeat. Mm-hmm. I've never been a big fan all these years. He's never been consistent in anything. But you know how it is, Anna. You're sitting around, maybe you're throwing a couple back or whatever. You're at the barbecue or you're out on a Friday night and one of you gets an idea and you're like, wait a minute, we solved it. You're welcome, humanity. We just figured it out.
Sometimes when it's your friends, though, you have this like never-ending hope and dreams for them, and you want to support them, which is exactly what Austin wants to do. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Matt, whose side are you on?
Charlotte, you don't hold a job for 15 years. You have trouble with management. You have trouble staying focused, and you want to gamble with other people's money.
Right.
You can give it to me. I'll do a better job.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
It's a lot of red flags lined up when he puts it out like that.
For sure.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. You always want to help out your friends, right? So when your best friend asks for a $15,000 investment in their sandwich chain company and they've got big dreams for it, you want to give it to them.
Mm.
And that's exactly what Austin wants to do, except there's one big problem.
Yeah, his wife, Charlotte.
Right.
She says that this is a terrible idea. Your friend hasn't held a consistent job for 15 years straight, basically. He goes to work for somebody, gets fed up, and then walks away from it. Why would it be any different when he comes to go at his own business? If he wants to do this, he should raise his own money. We should stay out of this thing.
Well, his raising his own money is asking his friends and family to come up with the capital for it. I don't know. You want to believe in your friends, and he thinks him being his own boss will be the right way to go, but would you give him $15,000 with that track record?
I go back to all the lessons I learned from EPMD, Anna, 90s hip-hop, 80s hip-hop, which is business never personal. Don't mix. Don't mix. Don't give it to your pal.
1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, whose side are you on?
I just want to comment about that restaurant. I'm on the side of the whites. I mean, zebras don't change their stripes. I don't mean to be judgmental. You know, you don't want to judge someone's future by their past. But usually you don't change. And I could see this guy hanging out maybe for a couple years, deciding he doesn't want to do it anymore. He's bored from the job. He wants to change. Whatever reason, I would not invest the money.
Hey, listen, I'll judge that tiger by its stripes when it comes to their history. That's the only way you can do it when it comes to money, right? Look at what somebody's shown you and believe them.
Yeah. Ellen, what do you think?
I'm on her side. I have to be on Charlotte's side because he said it himself. He is not good at management. So in a year, when his friend gets bored with the business, which obviously if you're going to own the business, you're the ultimate CEO, her husband is going to get stuck cleaning up the mess. So I am on her side.
Thank you
I
so
love
much,
sandwiches,
Ellen.
Though. That means that I inherit this sandwich franchise.
Yeah, but you don't just get to eat the sandwiches. You have to order it. You have to prepare it. You have to serve
sad,
it.
Oh, sad. The details. Why?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Charlotte, our audience agreed with you. Austin, it's Charlotte's money, too. And if he has such a bad track record, maybe she doesn't want to put in the investment in him. Maybe to take the money and try something different is the way to go.
I hear you. It's just, you know, I really love my friend and I want to see him succeed. You know, my wife comes number one. She's always number one. If this is not what we are going to put our money into, then we can figure out something else. Because I do understand her caution and I appreciate her wanting to, you know, protect our family and our funds, gambling on a friend who doesn't have the best track record.
Austin, I mean, there's lots of ways to support your friend. You know, it doesn't have to be your money. When they're fundraising, you can help them fundraise. It doesn't have to be your money is all I would say. Charlotte, you got to be relieved.
Right. Totally relieved. Like you said, you can be emotionally supportive.
Find other people for him to seek for these funds from. I mean, frankly.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Anna, put me in for $1,000 on my friend's sandwich shop.
All right. That is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. If you know your pop culture trivia, you want to take them down, you're going to have your chance to play Can't Beat Raven coming up next. Text CBR if you want to play to 1-800-330-9999 or just sign up once at annaandraven.com. Put your name on the list.
Can't Beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $1,000 thanks to GoGo Squeeze. Every moment counts to squeeze out the best with your kids. Squeeze out the best with GoGo Squeeze. Made from 100% fruit and no sugar added. In a squeezable pouch, squeeze out the best with GoGo Squeeze. All right, Tammy, you ready to play today?
I am ready to play.
Okay. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it, Tammy. $1,000. Good luck.
Raven is walking out of here. That big door is going to slam shut right now. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, Disney's Little Mermaid had a weekend in box office win with $117.5 million in ticket sales. Ariel's dad is King what?
Trident.
Number two, after a meeting with the Pope, director Martin Scorsese announced plans to make another film about Jesus. He also directed the 1988 film that starred Willem Dafoe. What movie was that?
I have no idea.
Number three, 83-year-old Al Pacino is expecting his fourth child with his girlfriend. In the Godfather movies, he was Michael what? What was his last name?
Angelo.
Number four, Pee-wee Herman is suing an auctioneer for allegedly stealing his stuff. What color is the bow tie that Pee-wee wears?
Red.
And number five, Jeff Bezos and his fiancée, Lauren Sanchez, are renting out Michael Bolton's house for $600,000 a month. In Michael Bolton's hit song, How Can We Be Lovers, he asks, how can we be lovers if we can't be what?
Friends.
All right, let me bring Raven back.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Tammy.
Not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Disney's The Little Mermaid had a weekend box office win with $117 million in ticket sales.
No surprise.
Ariel's dad is King what? What's his name?
King Triton.
Correct. Number two, after a meeting with the Pope, director Martin Scorsese announced plans to make another film about Jesus. He also directed the 1988 film that starred Willem Dafoe. What movie was that?
The Crucifixion?
No, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Number three.
Was that Will Dafoe? Oh, wow.
Yep. 83-year-old Al Pacino is expecting his fourth child with his girlfriend.
It's gross.
It's weird. Like, I feel like I need a doctor to explain to me how this works.
No, you don't.
Okay.
No.
She's 29.
Yeah.
He's 83. Her ex-boyfriend is Mick Jagger.
No, I know.
She's got a...
There's a lot of daddy issues going on there, I'm guessing.
She's got a type. Let's leave it at that. In the Godfather movies, he was Michael what? What was his last name?
Corleone.
Correct.
Oh, gosh. I got nervous there for a minute.
Number four, Pee-wee Herman is suing an auctioneer for allegedly stealing his stuff. What color is the bow tie that Pee-wee wears?
Red.
Yes, you guys are tied at 3. Number five, Jeff Bezos and his fiancée, Lauren Sanchez, are renting out Michael Bolton's house for $600,000 a month.
Are you sure? I thought it was Kenny G's house.
No, it's Michael Bolton's house.
Well, either way, it's awesome.
Yeah. Right? It's Michael Bolton, not Kenny G's.
I think it's Kenny G's, I read.
All right. Well,
either way, it's one of those dudes with the hair, you know.
Yeah. In Michael Bolton's hit song, How Can We Be Lovers, he asks, how can we be lovers if we can't be what?
Friends.
Friends.
Yeah.
How can we start over when the fighting never ends, baby?
How can we
make love when we can't make amends?
Now, I want you to imagine all of that going on with a super sultry saxophone in the background, too. Maybe they're roommates.
In my mind, Kenny G and Michael Bolton live together.
Right.
I'm sorry, Tammy. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Tammy, and I can't beat Raven.
All right, hold on, Tammy.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,100 tomorrow, Anna.
I want to be where the people are. I want to see, them dancing.
Huge weekend for The Little Mermaid. Box office went $117 million, which comes no surprise to Raven. Because he's Ariel's boyfriend. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I'm the original Ariel's boyfriend. I haven't had any time to discuss anything with Haley, and I don't want to be inappropriate at this point. So I would say that when The Little Mermaid came out, I was also an adolescent. So it was more appropriate for me to idolize those characters as being my girlfriends.
Over the years, anytime The Little Mermaid came up in conversation, Raven would immediately talk about how in love he was with Ariel when he was a kid.
I mean, I really, really was. I mean, it's just an amazing character, and I loved it. And the reviews are up and down, but no surprise, the movie was number one this past weekend.
Right. It's so funny, though, because whenever you talk about, like, yep, that was my first girlfriend. My first girlfriend was Ariel.
Yep.
I giggle because I think a lot of people fall in love with these fictional characters, and I never had that. Like, I never had, like, a crush on a cartoon character or a TV character or anything like that.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. For me, it was like... Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block, or at one point it was like, who did I like more, Corey Haim or Corey Feldman?
Yeah,
you know, you were.
I mean, everybody was torn up in that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the Lost Boys, man.
But they were like real actual people and yeah. actors and like an artist that I had crushes on, not these fictional characters.
Yeah, I don't really, Tiger Beat seemed like, you know, it kind of, you know, it played to you guys, not to me so much, right? So I guess I missed that mode.
I know. I was thinking about it. I'm like, who are the fictional characters you had a crush on when you were growing up? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Sam, who was it for you?
Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But like, who didn't have a crush on her? Am I right?
Yeah, it's not her fault. She was just drawn that way.
No, she was just drawn that way. Yeah, she was just drawn perfect.
Yeah, sweet and innocent at heart. But, you know, that was my first lesson there, that Anna Nicole Smith could be a nice person. Pamela Anderson could be a nice person. They just didn't have to be what you assumed they were.
Maybe they should have married a rabbit.
Maybe.
I always thought Roger Rabbit was not handsome enough for her.
You know what?
I always thought she could do better.
And you know, questionable behavior at times, too. Got to be honest, you know.
Ooh.
Bit of a scummy.
So what, like Jessica Rabbit's at a 10, Roger Rabbit's at a 5?
Four.
Maybe
three.
Less.
Oh.
Maybe.
I just want you to know that there's a whole legion of people that don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
This is creepy, too.
Who is a fictional character that you had a crush on? 1-800-330-9999. Who's the fictional character you have a crush on? Raven was so excited that The Little Mermaid did so well at the box office because, as far as I can remember, for years and years, he's always told me that Ariel was his first girlfriend.
She very much was. I remember the VHS cassette case. I used to put it up on my dresser just like it was a photo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how you would of your girlfriend before you would roll over and go to bed at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should be noted, I was also like 10 years old, so that was okay. Then.
This wasn't last week,
yeah.
So there's that, so
yeah.
That's good. According to the internet, the top 3 fictional crushes that people have.
Mm.
Number 3, Ramsay Bolton from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
You know, I never watched it.
That's the one that's in The Last of Us now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's surprising to me because she's young, but okay.
No, this is a boy. Ramsay Snow.
There are they. I think there are they.
Okay. Number 2, all right, got it. Princess Leia.
Yeah.
And number 1, Tate Langdon from American Horror Story.
Let me tell you something. I was watching Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back yesterday, and Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher.
Seems like a lot, Raven. Seems like a lot.
Sorry.
All right.
She's a grown person.
1-800-330. I mean, none of them are animated. I'll give them that. 1-800-330-9999. Who is the fictional character you had a crush on growing up? Camilla.
It was Lion from Thundercats.
Nice. Nice. I mean, an odd choice.
Hey, don't judge. I like muscles. Don't judge.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's an odd choice. You're not a furry now, are you?
No, I mean, I'm not.
I'm not. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, you know. I mean, I'm just asking, right? I want to see how that developed. Is all I'm saying.
Oh, we never know. Maybe I'll give it a chance from now on.
Well, look at you not ruling it out. Okay, all right. Keep that open mind, girl.
Hey, Carol, who's your childhood fictional crush?
My crush was Superman/Clark Kent, as embodied by Christopher Reeve in the original movie back in like '79.
Oh yeah, part one, part two. I mean, he was killing it.
And oh,
I
my mean, God.
How did nobody recognize him with the glasses on? I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, he was just so ripped underneath that suit.
Yeah.
All right? That befuddled demeanor, that, you know, constantly like, oh, clumsiness. Come on now. Mm-hmm. You're not fooling me.
The very best embodiment of all good things.
Eric, who was a fictional character you had a crush on growing up?
Jasmine from Aladdin.
Buddy?
Dude, like it was just one of those where it was like I was competing with Aladdin every time I saw it. Like he thought he was a prince. I was like, nah, I got more. Forget him. I'll show you the new world. Don't worry about it.
Oh my gosh, you are correct, man. I mean, I don't know. She was like my third girlfriend. That one. She was not my first girlfriend, but like I felt so grown when I first met Jasmine. When I was like, oh my gosh.
The fact there's so many men that have brought up Disney princesses, very strange, very strange.
Hey, listen, they were great movies, okay? Mm-hmm. And she was lovely and intelligent and wow. I mean, just,
everything.
Yeah, man. She was nice. She was accepting. She didn't just want the rich guy. Love her.
I just wonder how many 7-year-olds right now have a crush on like Anna or Elsa. You know, a lot. And we're going to find out in like 20 years.
Yeah. A lot. All of them. Casting all of them.